read, read books, books. Last week during the fun drive when we had we didn't have our book pick segment, and somebody pledged on Tuesday and said, I'm pledging because I realize that this is the only way I'd be able to hear or say hippity hoppity off to a different land. So they pledged money just so that they could do that, and we thank them very much. So it's great to be back on our normal schedule. Because it's Tuesday, we have a bookseller with us to talk about some amazing books that I'm sure you've never heard of, because I know I haven't. And he is Matt Tannenbaum. He is the owner of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. He is a dear friend, and it is always good to see him. And I'm very, very happy that he is in our presence this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. I hippity hopped down the street. I didn't realize what I was doing until...
Well, I'll tell you, you do it with great panache, I must say.
Hippity hop with panache.
You are a good hippity hoppity-er. Or whatever that means.
I think we're losing control of this right away, aren't we?
42 seconds in. Where would you like to begin, sir?
I have six books I'd like to talk about and also mention... book parties that I forgot to tell you about beforehand. But
good job.
We'll start with the six books. The first one is the biggest book I've ever brought here. It's almost 700 pages. It is, pardon me, Bob Dylan, All the Songs.
That's cool.
And it is published by Black Dog Leventhal. The title is Bob Dylan, All the Songs. The subtitle is The Story Behind Every Track, by Philippe Margotin and Jean-Michel Gouston, two French guys, who I tried to find out anything about. The only other book they put together was The Beatles, All the Songs.
Okay.
So this is what their gig is. So this is the full story of every recording session, every album, every single release during Bob Dylan's, I'm quoting here, remarkable and illustrious career, arranged chronologically, illustrated with more than 500 black and white and color photographs. All the Songs is packed with what interests a true Dylan fan. Are you a Dylan fan?
I am a Dylan fan. I am not like a rabid Dylan fan, but I certainly respect. What?
An RDF.
No.
A rabid Dylan fan.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, okay.
Are lyrics in there? Are all the lyrics
no.
in there?
No. No, just the songs.
The
songs. Just the
stories
just
about
the story.
Songs. Okay.
So, for instance, you can go to any album you like, any point in his career, and pick out a what was the one I was looking at? As I walked out one morning, there's a photograph of W.H. Auden on that page. A photograph of Ginsberg and Auden and the Dylan song "As I Walked Out One Morning." Auden wrote a famous poem, "As I Walked Out One," something like that, "As I Walked Out One Early Evening," something. And a discussion of where this song came from. It came from the ACLU meeting that he walked out on, that he was booed off the stage
right.
for receiving the Tom Paine Award. You remember that story?
Sure.
So great book, 700 pages, $50, great Christmas gift. If you missed giving someone a Christmas
Valentine's
gift.
Valentine's Day.
Oh, there you go.
Valentine.
I have a Valentine's Day book also.
Okay, all
That's
right.
The last
well,
one.
This is another one for the Dylan fan in your life to prove your love. Bob Dylan, All the Songs, The Story Behind Every Track. Okay, next up.
You know, Bob was nominated for, I think, a number of times for a Nobel Prize in Literature. And the most recent was 2012 when he lost to Thomas Tranströmer, so the Swedish poet. And now the Nobels won't give a prize to an American. So in honor of that, I'm going to Europe for the next three books.
Okay.
The first book is Ostend by Volker Wiedermann. And the subtitle is Stefan Zweig, Joseph Roth, and The Summer Before the Dark. These two writers you've heard of, I know, Stefan Zweig and Roth's most famous novel is The Radetzky March. Zweig was in the news the last couple of years because he inspired the Wes Anderson film, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
That's right.
Which is all about, you know, the end of the Last of the Empires, before the wars, before the wars of the 20th century. So Zweig and Roth were good friends. Zweig was the high German Jew, very successful during the early 30s, during the 20s earlier, and Roth was the Eastern European, more toward Galicia, the poor Jew from Eastern Europe, who wrote about the decay, the dying of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. These two guys meet up. They've met before. They've been fans of each other, and they meet now in the summer of 1936, when the news from home is something like, I wrote this down. The news from home is a Germany filled with intoxicated petit bourgeoisie, intoxicated because they have been given power. This was the rise of Nazi Germany, and these two Jewish German writers have exiled themselves from that and are looking back, and they don't see any hope.
Mm.
And Roth's an alcoholic, Zweig is an enabler. Well, yes and no, and they're falling down. They're holding each other up even as they're falling down, and it's a lovely look at that period of what happened to two intellectuals in 1936, the summer before the dark. 36, the Olympics are happening in Berlin. 36, the Spanish War is beginning. 36, what's happening in America? Isolationism versus, you know, should we get involved with what's going on? And this Volker Wiedermann, don't know who he is, but lovely, lovely writing and a lovely translation by, who's this, say, Carol Brown?
Janeway.
Janeway.
Yes.
Who was the a Scottish editor at Random House, who also translated, I found out, Sandor Marai's book Embers. A beautiful book, also about the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the dying of it back in the early 20th century.
Now, I'm only flipping through this. It's about 160 pages, but it seems like it reads like a novel.
It's anecdotes. So you have chapters where they meet at the cafes and you imagine conversations.
Fascinating stuff.
Lovely.
Austin by Volker Wiedermann. All right, next.
Staying in Europe?
Yes. Europe, part two.
Robert Kaplan, his new book, In Europe's Shadow, Two Cold Wars and a 30-Year Journey Through Romania and Beyond. Robert Kaplan, who, when he's not traveling, and he is mostly traveling, lives in the Berkshires. And we've had dinner a couple of times, a lovely guy. And he has been a journalist. He was like, what am I going to do with my life? And he found what he could do is travel and write about it. And this is a
not I asked bad things.
What a life! I asked him once if he'd ever met Fermer, one of my other favorite authors, Patrick Lee Fermer, and he said, "Oh yeah, I interviewed him for my first book." So we had a long conversation about that. Fermer comes up in Europe's Shadow. So he's a 29-year-old. Kaplan's 29 years old, and leaving the did a stint in the Israeli army. And as he's leaving that time of his life, he's wondering what he's going to do. And he gets a visa to Romania, and which is the only country that has diplomatic relations with Israel at the time. The only country in what they used to call the Eastern Bloc, and the woman who gives him the visa says, you know, you can't go anywhere else, just to Romania. He says, yeah, sure, and then he goes everywhere else, and then comes back to Romania several times in the course of his travels and in the course of his journalism, and writes about what Romania is in the middle of the crossing of Europe from the east and the west. It's been invaded and taken so many times. One of the most wonderful things about this book is the maps at the beginning of the book. There are 8 pages of maps. Romania today, Romania during the war, Romania during the Austro-Hungarian Empire, during the Ottoman Empire, during the Habsburg Empire. And he also starts the book with the end of the book is a 12-page bibliography. He starts the book with a line that says something like, where is it? my library is a burden. And then he has 12 pages of bibliography. Robert, what he's saying is he's traveling. He does not have a lot of hardcover books. He does not have a lot of first editions. He has old, underlined, dog-eared paperbacks that bring back to him. He can open a page in a paperback, he says, and remember, you know, the weather that day in Bucharest, that kind of thing. So it's a lovely, lovely book.
In Europe's Shadow by Robert Kaplan.
Published by Random House.
Random House. What is next? I know we have one more book about Europe.
That's right. Conversations with a Masked Man. Well, this is Europe and America.
Okay.
Conversations with a Masked Man, My Father, the CIA, and Me by John Haddon. John Haddon is a founding member of Shakespeare & Company in Lenox, Massachusetts. Came to Lenox a few years after I did, back in the 70s. I knew him then. I've known him all these years. I knew that his dad was in the CIA because he wrote a play that my kids were in about a son of a CIA agent who was trapped in the soccer stadium during the Allende debacle. September 11th, 1973, when the CIA assisted in overthrowing Allende in Chile, but he never talked about his dad, but he tried to figure out as growing up, and he grew up with his dad, with his family, sometimes in Washington D.C., sometimes overseas, sometimes in Germany, sometimes in Israel. His dad was a station chief of the CIA during the Six-Day War. Fascinating. So this is a conversation between father and son. What were you doing all those years? What was I doing? How did we do this? What was it like? What is it? What do you think of it now? So it's tape recordings, and it's anguished. Mm. Dad is an older guy now, and he's looking back and he's saying, "Well, I never took it too seriously."
Yeah.
But you know, then he goes on to describe some of the most serious political events of the 20th century that he was a part of, and so this is a back and forth between father and son. John will be at the bookstore on March the 6th.
On March 6th, and the book is Conversations with the Masked Man, My Father, the CIA, and Me by John Haddon.
Published by Arcade.
Arcade. All right.
We're still in Europe.
Okay.
I don't want to come back home. It's Modiano again. I think I've talked about Modiano for the last 6-8 months. I read a book of his every couple of months. He won the Nobel Prize in Literature 2 years ago, and Yale is coming out with all these new translations and the one I just finished is called Paris Nocturne. These are small $16 paperbacks from Yale and translated. I don't know who the translators are. This one is Phoebe Weston Evans, and it's Paris Nocturne. It's the story of a young man who is knocked down in a traffic accident just before he turns 21, and who knocked him down? He doesn't know. It was an older woman. He spends most of the rest of the book trying to find her.
Mm.
This is a theme in all his novels. Something happens, something comes out of the blue, and an older woman she solves the mystery. She is the mystery, and she solves the mystery. And I think the accident happens on page one. He finds her on page 98. Did I give that away? That's okay.
No, you're good.
And Modiano writes these dreamlike...
Patrick Modiano, we should mention.
Patrick Modiano.
Yep.
Writes these dreamlike novels. And I wish I could quote some of it. Do I have a quote from it? No. Oh, I wanted to say the funniest line in the book is on page 102. I won't tell you what that is.
Okay. All right.
You have to go all the way to 102.
It's a good teaser, though. I'll give you that. That's very good. All right.
What he says is he's coming to realize during the course of the narration that he's looking for something. He was aimless, and this accident put him on the path. Suddenly he looks outside, or walks outside. It's cold, it's winter, the air is clear. Suddenly his head is clear, and he has found a point. that he can then go off and live his life. And that point leads me to my last book.
Okay.
And this is the Valentine's book.
Yes.
Do you know this book?
I am deeply, madly, head over heels in love with this book. I have been for the better part of my life.
This is, and it's not new. This is a reprint that's not even new. The original came out in 1968, I think.
63.
63.
Yep.
Thank you, Joe.
I'm here to help.
The Dot and the Line by Norton Juster.
Romance and Lower Mathematics. Norman Juster, of course, known for the Phantom Toll Booth. This was a beautiful book in which a straight line falls in love with a dot.
Hopelessly in love with a dot.
Yes.
His friends tell him she has no depth.
This was Flatland was a novella, a satirical novella that was written in the late 1880s.
Right, right.
And it's loosely based on that. And Norman Juster tells the story of The Dot and the Line. And not only is this a beautiful book, but have you ever seen the cartoon, the Academy Award-winning cartoon?
Right, right, right.
Done by Chuck Jones, who is the director, of course, known for his work in Looney Tunes, but also with Bugs Bunny and pretty much any classic Bugs Bunny cartoon. Chuck Jones was the man behind it, along with Maurice Noble, who was his... art guy who worked on this, worked on The Grinch, and also even Phantom Toll Booth, which Norman Juster was not a part of,
a cartoon, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it is such a great story.
Dedicated to Euclid.
Yes.
For Euclid, no matter what they say.
It's a brilliant, brilliant book, and yes, a beautiful Valentine's Day gift.
That's what I've got.
All right. All good stuff. Do you have any events you want to tell us about?
The John Haddon, March 6th. We have three more in March, and I didn't bring the list,
Sorry
to say.
But the list is on the website.
The list is on the website. Go to the website.
Bookstoreinlenox.com, bookstoreinlenox.com, or you can just go visit them and say, hey, when are the events? It's at 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox, Massachusetts. That's where the bookstore is located, or Massachusetts, as we say here in the States. 11 Housatonic
Street.
Come
back from Europe.
Bookstoreinlenox.com. Matt, it is always a pleasure to have you on these airwaves.
One more I will tell you.
Yes.
It's not in March. It's April 1st. This is the first official on-air announcement, 40th anniversary party.
No April Fool's joke there.
It's not an April Fool's. It was pretty funny, and I've had a fun time. But it's no joke. It's 40 years, and come that day, all day long into the evening, we'll see what we do. We don't know what we're going to do yet.
All right,
we do.
All right,
but I'm not telling.
Well, happy anniversary, and I'm sure we'll be talking before then. Bookstoreinlenox.com, Matt. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.